Luke chapter number 4, I want to speak to you this morning about the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Before we do so, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'd like to share a couple of things with you, and then we're going to read our text this morning. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to stand in this pulpit. Lord, I do not count that lightly. And Lord, I thank you for what you have done in all of our lives. And we thank you for your goodness, the riches of your grace. We thank you for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And we thank you for this book we call the Bible. We pray that you might bless as we read it, as we preach from it this morning. May you be honored and glorified from it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. During the month, Sunday school teachers, listen very carefully. We'll be talking about this more. But during the month of September and October, I want to take some time, do something a little bit different, a little bit special. And I want to bring our entire church in for Sunday school. And so whatever you folks are doing, I hope you can get it done before that time. I want to deal with some things that I believe that all of us need to understand. And really the biggest thing that I want us to really note together and to understand together, and the reason I like for our young people and our old folks together for that, is that when you go home, you can talk about this. And that is the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. You would sit here this morning and you would say that the Bible is God's book. Would you not? And you'd stand on that. And yet, in our lives so often, it's not our authority. So often we become our own authority, and other books and other scenarios become our authority. But I want to take some time with that and just share a few things about the Bible itself, how we can rely upon it and know it's thus saith the Lord. It's not just a book that was made up by some people. It was something that came to us from God, has been preserved down through the years, and you and I have this wonderful book we call the Bible. This morning, I want to deal with the subject of the power of the Word of God. I'm going to read chapter number 4, and as I read the text, I want you in your mind, perhaps with a piece of paper and pencil if you have it, but I'd like for you to note how many times His Word is referred to as powerful. I'll review those in a little bit, but I want you to note that. I want you to seek to find what He says about it, because it's not once, it's several times in this tremendous chapter. Luke chapter number 4, and beginning in verse number 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it." By the way, the devil was not lying there. He was telling the truth. Verse 7, "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake unto them, among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, and he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went to a desert place. And the people besought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Well, as we look at this tremendous chapter, I asked you to stop and consider all the times that he refers to the Word of God as powerful. If you go back with me to verse number 3, it says, And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. We find from this verse that the devil knew of the power of his word. He understood it and was seeking to tempt him to do so outside, by the way, of the will of God. We find that in the next few verses, the devil brings temptation to his life. We find in verse number 4 that there is what we would call the lust of the flesh, as he says to him to command the stones to be made into bread. We find that Lord Jesus Christ meets that attack with the Word of God. We find in verse number 8 that he takes him up and onto a high mountain and has him look over all the kingdoms of the world. And as he looks and has presented to him what we would call the lust of the eye, the Lord Jesus is given the temptation of taking command over this area before his time. And then when we go to verse number 12, we find that the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple, telling him that the angels would surely bear him up, which I believe was his attack upon him in the area of pride. It's interesting that these three temptations were also put before Eve: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." When you go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, you read about Eve and that she saw that the tree was good for food. She saw, it was the eye. And there was pleasant to the eyes. First it was the flesh and then the eyes, and then a tree to be desired to make one wise, seeking after their pride. And she fell, of course, and we've all done the same in her since that time. As we read the scriptures, we find the people were overcome by the power in which he spake to them. In verse 20, it talks about him closing the book and sitting down. And then he talks about in verse 21 that this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And in verse number 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." We find as we go farther in this particular chapter, in verse number 32, also in verse number 36, that the city of Capernaum recognized the power of his word. And perhaps the most amazing verse that's so clear is verse 32, "And they were astonished at his doctrine," for what? "His word was with power." What a tremendous God we have. And then lastly, we notice in verse number 39, "With the power of his word, he speaks, and Peter's mother-in-law is healed." I need to talk to Brother Ron Todd about that. With all of his mother-in-law jokes, that maybe we can get him straightened out. It won't happen. When I read this section of God's word, there is something that just sticks out at me so vividly. And I want you to go back to verse number 1 with me, please. Book of Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. We're going to look at three verses here. I want to read those, and I want you to see something very important as to why his words are so powerful. Notice verse 1, "And Jesus, being what? Full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." If you would drop down to verse number 14 with me. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee." And then going down to verse number 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The first time that we see the Holy Spirit upon Christ, we find that he's being led into the wilderness to be tempted. That's an interesting scenario. The word tempt in that particular passage is referring to what we would call a trial. In the original, it means to try. It means to endeavor, to attempt to do a thing. Then to try the nature of a thing. Perhaps to find, by use of fire or whatever else, to reveal the qualities that are therein. And when God talks about temptation in His Word, we're not talking about so much the temptation to do evil, for God does not tempt us to do evil, but He does place us in position of trials. It's just His way. And what do trials do? As we go through those temptations, those trials, they show the realness of our faith to those round about us. Do they not? They show, as we continue our trust in Jesus Christ, whether we've lost health or finances, our homes, whatever it might be, even dear people, that we still love Him. We still care about Him. And so God allows us to have these kind of temptation to see how we will endure. It also teaches us valuable lessons about our God and how He is faithful all the way through. There's a phrase that's used often in the Bible. It says, "And it came to pass." Remember that when you're in the middle of a trial. It comes to pass. It will go away. But thank God for those times in our lives. I believe we can learn and apply something to our lives. And it's what I'd like to speak of for just another few minutes. First of all, I'd like for us to understand that trials are something that helps us to learn that we can overcome sin in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, but never in the power of the flesh. There's something that I had to come to grips with and learn and relearn a number of times in my Christian walk, and that is, I cannot in the flesh accomplish God's will. I cannot live the pure life. I cannot live that which is righteous and holy, and that which will bring glory and honor to His name. Oh, I might be good in the eyes of man, but there is something that is always missing. Many years ago, we had a lady in our church, and she said to me, she said, "There's something missing in your life." I didn't know what she was talking about, but a few years later, she said, "You found it." And she was talking about the fact that it had been by the flesh, but now was beginning to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what the Bible says as we think about this. Book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." By the way, do you believe the Bible? Walk in the Spirit, and what's it say? Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes we say, "Well, I can't do it. I'm human." Walking in the Spirit, you can. We have that privilege from above. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And we have the wonderful privilege to be able to just say yes to the Holy Spirit to lead us and to direct us. Do you know what you're supposed to do tomorrow? Do you know what God wants you to do next week? Our missionary comes with a very, very open request. Pray for us, that we might understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. They got a country in mind. They got a people in mind. They know God has directed them to that area. But that's a big area for two people. And so there is something that narrows that down to a city. And yea, even to a certain part of a city, as they have the privilege to minister for Christ. How does that come about? How can they walk in that spot? Through the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And He wants to direct. He wants to direct you. He wants to direct me. I believe there's a key to that, and that is that we might yield ourselves to Him as He shows us the way. We come back to the Word of God, and we find in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach us the Word of God. And He uses the Word of God to direct us. For instance, I don't have to pray about getting baptized. I don't need to pray about that. The Bible is clear. I have direction there. Amen? Yeah. And so it's a matter, yeah. I don't have to pray about certain things in life because God has given me direction. I remember one time somebody was speaking to an individual and they were talking about tithing. And the individual said to them, "Well, I'll pray about it." You don't need to pray about it. God has said in His Word that the tithe is the Lord's. It's really pretty simple. And so we just get involved and do it. Is the authority of God's Word really a part of your life? Are you allowing His Word to come to your life with power? That is allowing the Spirit of God to minister it to you and to lead you and to direct you. I understand there are certain areas in our life that the Word of God doesn't tell us specifically. It doesn't tell these folks, go to this city. It doesn't say that. I picked up my Bible when I lived in Seattle, and the words I read was in Mark chapter number 5. Where it said, go home to thy friends and show them how great things God hath done for thee. That verse spoke to my heart. This is my hometown. And I knew from that moment on where God wanted me. And so I moved those 1,800 miles, four kids in tow, and came to the city of Council Bluffs. Started the church in the most unlikely place that one could do so. Today, the building looks beautiful, but if you drive by 3333 Avenue A, it's an old store building. I say beautiful, it's not really, but it's a whole lot more beautiful than when we were there. But God was leading and directing and showing the way. How does it happen? We allow the Spirit of God to do so. And so we need to understand there's a difference between what we want to do and what God wants us to do. The power of His Word. Will we first of all let His Word lead us, that we might then allow those particulars that the Spirit of God whispers in our hearts to lead us? I believe, secondly, we can learn and apply to our lives that we can preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and do so with the power of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men ye were among you for your sake. God wants us to give the gospel. You say, well, Pastor, you're the one that preaches. Well, this be true. But as I study my Bible, I think God wants all of us to preach the gospel. I believe there are folks that you and I can speak to and talk to about Christ. And we can do so with the power of the Lord. Many of God's people have said to me, and I've thought it myself on many occasions, and that is, well, I'm afraid to talk to them. They might laugh at me. That is not the power of the Spirit of God. That's going in the flesh. And the way you're going to do that is seek after the Lord and allow Him to lead you. There's an amazing thing. As you let Him do that, how God will bring to you what I describe as divine appointments. People that come into your life and you're seeking, you want to see them saved, and how God will open the conversation for you. In most cases, I have found that they will do it for me. It's incredible. I have found that God just opens up the, you know, this or that or whatever it is. I've actually gone into homes on purpose, and we sat and talked for a while, and the person said to me, "What'd you come for?" Because I was waiting. I was scared to bring up anything, but God opened the door. And so I learned the power of the Word of God will do its work in people's lives if we will allow the Spirit of God to direct us and to give it to them. It's an amazing factor. God's Word is powerful. I remember when I was a little boy, we used to say this when somebody didn't like us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is the most stupid phrase we could ever come up with. Words do hurt us. No doubt you've been hurt by somebody in your family, with your friends, and that hurt came because of some misplaced words. And by the same token, good words can do a work in other people's lives. And it's amazing the doors that God will open if you let Him do it. In the last 4.5 months, as I could go nowhere, several of those weeks laying in a bed and couldn't even turn myself over, could not pull myself up in the bed. And did you know they make hospital beds with a spot that your bottom goes in and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper? And you're not going to move out of it. And so here's this, what now I describe as, because I've lost a lot of weight, 198-pound weakling, and I can't do anything. And so I have to put on a call light so I can have a nurse turn me over because I'm uncomfortable. And then to turn me back over. And they had time limits on that, of all the crazy things. But with that and all the different things with doctors, I was amazed at how God allowed open times and the privilege to speak. There was one night a nurse came into my room. For the life of me, I can't remember her name. And we had talked some earlier in the evening, but in the middle of the night, you know, they want you to go to sleep and wake up when they want you to wake up, which is quite often. And so I'm awake, and she's come in. I begin to talk to her, and I don't know, we got into some spiritual things. She knew I was a pastor, and so we began to talk. I don't remember what propelled it. I don't remember what we talked about, but I do remember this. Several other patients didn't get much wake-up time for her because she stayed right there. She wanted to talk about it. I found out when it was almost all done, she looks at me and she says, "Would you pray for me?" She says, "I'm going through a really difficult time now with my husband. Would you pray for me?" And certainly we did. Matter of fact, right on the spot. God opens doors. I don't know of her salvation. I hope to go back and find her, and I hope so within a few weeks, and talk to her more clearly in that area. But thank God for privileges. You have no idea the influence you can have. This whole world's hurting. And people need a word from you. You have no idea how powerful it is. After being in the ministry for well over 40 years, I've had people come to me that we spoke to many, many years ago to tell me that something I said made an impact in their life. And I've thought so many times, what if I hadn't said it? But then I grieve because I think there were many times I didn't. We have a word. It's the word of God. It's powerful. And when you and I are willing to speak it, God can work in lives. The power of his word. Jesus used it against the devil, defeated him. You can use it against the devil. Jesus used it to speak to his people. You can use it to speak to his people. Jesus used it to speak to those who are not his people. And we can do the same. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this precious book, the Bible. Lord, we thank you for the power that it has. We thank you for a Savior who spoke it into existence, empowered it, for the Holy Spirit of God who works it in each of our lives. I don't understand all that, but God, you do. And I pray, Father, today for any in this room who may not know you as their Savior. If they were to die, they don't know they'd go to heaven. Oh God, I pray you'd help them to understand that you died for them, that you gave your life that they might have life eternal. God, I pray that they might understand their sin against you has separated them from you and that they need a Savior. Bless and work in each of our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.